next year. That announcement is the latest in a string of social reforms that's included handing women the right to drive. Loosening Saudi Arabia's strict religious culture is part of Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman's plan to modernize Saudi Arabia in the hopes of attracting foreign talent and spurring economic growth. For more global news headlines, visit talkmedianews.com.
You're listening to KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM, and KXRW LP Vancouver at 99.9 FM, streaming online everywhere at xray.fm.
X-Ray.
The Nonprofit Happy Hour. A weekly look at Portland's nonprofits and do-gooders with interviews, music, and documentaries. You're listening to the Nonprofit Happy Hour on X-Ray FM, brought to you by the Media Institute for Social Change, a public interest media lab that works to inspire, empower, and engage emerging media producers. Learn more online at mediamakingchange.org or in person at Citizen, our nonprofit coffee shop and program space at 3636 A North Mississippi Avenue. I'm Molly Jean Bennett. This week on the show, we have a conversation with Marty Jones of Metro East Community Media.
This is Phil Bussey. It's the Nonprofit Happy Hour on X-Ray FM. I am joined in the studio by Marty Jones, who's Executive Director of Metro East. How are you doing?
Very good. How are you doing?
Good. And not necessarily the new, but newish.
Newish. I don't know if I can say new anymore. It's been about 18 months now.
The previous executive director, they've been there for
24 years.
I was going to say a decade, but yeah. Wow, two and a half decades.
Yeah,
that's. I want to get into that a little bit, but let's first just get the grounding here a little bit. Metro East is
a full service community media studio located in downtown Gresham. We are 33 years old, founded in 1984. And I am blessed to be just the third CEO to be a part of this organization. The very, very beginnings for about 15 years, almost 20 years, we were on the Mount Hood Community College campus and had a studio. Separate organizations, but we were there on campus. And under Rob's great leadership, Rob Brading, my predecessor, we were able to build our own studio and downtown Gresham about 13 years ago. We provide public education and government access television to all of Portland. We have a shared channel that, you know, our programming, Open Signals programming, Willamette Falls programming all airs on. But then we have stations that are particularly focused on East County. So sort of from, you know, 82nd Street all the way to Troutdale, you know, Gresham, Wood Village, and Fairview in the middle there. That's our sweet spot. That's our main service area. Our government partners, in addition to those four cities, include Multnomah County Commission. So we do all of the Multnomah County Commission meetings. So when you're watching cable television, whether in HD or SD, and you're looking at city council or school board or commission meetings, or you're looking at educational feeds from NASA or from Gresham Barlow or Reynolds Schools, or, you know, your neighbor who has a killer show about quilting or a very, you know, alternative, funny game show. Those are coming from your neighbors and friends. That's the public part of it. So those are our sort of, that's our profile of our stations.
Right. And so the public interface is, people would think of it as cable access TV.
Correct. Right. Or public access.
Public access.
Wayne's World, Party Time, you know, whatever you want to do, call it.
But that's really just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, there's a beehive of activity. You are training teens how to use their smartphones to make films. You are training elders how to use smartphones. Right. You're training just anyone really who comes off the street who wants to make a TV show or learn how to use a camera.
Right. And you know, people walk in and they're you know, one or two emotions happen. You see their eyes just light up and they're like jaws open, or if they, you know, can articulate it, they're like, I could never imagine this was here. I mean, you walk into a studio that would, you know, if I blindfolded you and said, where are you? You would say KGW or, you know, OPB. I mean, these are, you know, full service, you know, high def studios with hundreds of thousands of dollars of equipment. The only difference is that we train you how to use it and we give you access to and knowledge on how to distribute your program.
I also want to, in defining who Metro East is and what you do, now Open Signal, which until a year ago was known as Portland Community Media, very similar funding, very similar mission, but different and seemingly increasingly different.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's been great. Justin Harn is my homeboy and has about 6 months on me in this new space. And
he's the executive director
at Open Signal. We, you know, have a lot of fun, you know, bouncing ideas off of each other and, you know, breathing new life into the space. I mean, he has an amazing background in the arts and did some incredible work at the Hollywood Theater in their education program and has, you know, merged that into Open Signal. You know, my background is, you know, a Hollywood executive. I mean, I spent 30 years making movies and television, you know, primarily in Los Angeles. And so the allure for me is that when I was, you know, much skinnier college kid in Columbus, Ohio, when I was about 19 years old, I had a public access show that was focusing on interviewing filmmakers that were coming to Columbus for this really cool independent film festival that we had there when I was growing up. So have the opportunity to breathe life into these places and see youth, you know, and elders and everyday people have an opportunity. That's really the lifeblood of both of us. I mean, they're much more centered, of course, being right at MLK and Graham in the heart of the city. But we, you know, we do things all over the region and we bring in all kinds of experts and artists and filmmakers to both places to, you know, give folks an opportunity to bolster their craft and their knowledge of the industry.
Do you have a favorite show in Metro East that is aired that just would not exist anywhere else?
Yeah, we have a really cool one. I geeked out when I was a finalist for this job. It's called Community Hotline. And this show has been on the air for 20 years nonstop, which is a milestone for anything in television. But the incredible thing about Community Hotline is that this past June, we hit 1,000 episodes. Now, I'm a Hollywood guy. Most television shows will never reach that milestone. I mean, if you get a show on for 8 years, you're rich, right? You know, Seinfeld or, you know, Will and Grace or whatever, and they're back. But shows, think about the longest running show on television, The Simpsons, has only done 650 episodes. Monday Night Football has only done about 850 episodes. It's been on for 40 years. I was a teenager when Monday Night Football came on, right? You know, Lassie and Gunsmoke, legendary shows like that that were on TV for 18, 19 years, never reached 1,000 episodes. So for a weekly show to meet that milestone in downtown Gresham, Oregon, fantastic. So we had a big, big, you know, shindig for that. And the cool thing about Community Hotline is we showcase 100 nonprofits every year, some of the really big ones and established ones, and a lot of the baby nonprofits. And this is their opportunity to come on and share the good news of what they're doing with the community, showcase an event, talk about their organization. And the producers, Emily and the host, Monica, came up with something 4 or 5 years ago that's brilliant. They give the nonprofit a packaged version of the video, their 15-minute segment that they can put onto their social media or use on their website. And that's been transformative, especially for the small organizations. So that's my favorite, Community Hotline, every Wednesday night.
And I want to pick up on something that you were alluding to in the answer to that, process versus product.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as coming out of background in Hollywood, I think product is probably the most important.
Content is king.
Right. Who cares how you get to the finish line, but that you get there and you get on the air.
Right.
Metro East, that's not the same motivation or goal.
Well, the producers take on a really big responsibility, though. They have to, when they make that commitment, they have to, you know, deliver their 13 shows. Our season is broken into quarters, you know, so every 3 months we have a new season. So we have 4 seasons a year. And folks that have a series, they're committing to delivering that half hour or 1 hour series every week. And so, you know, we're open 7 days a week. 2 days we're closed to the public, Tuesday and Wednesday. That's when we do our productions. But we're open in the weekends, we're open in the evenings. And, you know, once you do the free orientation, if you need training, it's only $25. So the classes that we offer in editing and production and shooting so that you can qualify to take the equipment out, you can take all these classes as many times as you want for only $25. Now, I will tell you, in the city of Portland, if you took those same classes and paid for them at certain other places, it would cost you about $2,000 to take the classes once. But as a part of our mission, we're making that available to people. And then for $50 a year, you're a member, and you can sign out equipment, rent the studio, or come in and book a, you know, your edit session so you can make a podcast there. So the process is, you know, it's kind of like, you know, anywhere else, Hollywood, Portland commercial television, OPB, X-ray. I mean, folks like you're doing right here, you and Emily, we're here. You got to make the show. You got to get the guests. You've got to, you know, meet your timeline and your commitments. The freedom is in the content. I mean, we don't have people coming in and pitching us ideas. The whole essence of community media is that they get to talk about what they want to talk about.
I want to talk about some of the other successes that Metro East has had. You, before we went on the air, you were talking about some students that ended up at the White House.
Yeah. You know, with my predecessor, Rob's Blessing, I had asked our youth team to get students together thinking about entering a film in the White House Student Film Festival. This was in May of 2016. I didn't know who the next president was going to be. And so this was something that had started under the Obama administration. And I thought, you know, we're doing some really cool stuff with youth. Let's try to, you know, put something on there. And it was really simple. The prompt was "The World I Want to Live In." And you had 3 minutes or less, and you entered it on via YouTube. So the kids wrote this script, and I looked at it, and now I'm on the job, and I'm like, wow, this is really deep. The kids wrote this? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, wow, this is kind of overwhelming. And it's about ending youth incarceration. And the kids that we were working with live in the Rockwood area of Gresham, and it's one of the most underserved zip codes in the state. It's also one of the most ethnically and religiously and culturally diverse. 88 languages are spoken at home there, other than English, and among the students and their families. And they wanted to tell this really serious story. So long story short, we were like, well, let's do it for real. We rented the Wapato prison and shot in a real prison. They made this film, worked with advocates, you know, mentors, other independent filmmakers, and they wanted a drone. So we got somebody to bring a drone and get shots over the prison. We entered the film and we were invited to the White House. And, you know, people were saying, oh, you took some kids to the White House. I'm like, no, I've been to the White House. I've never been invited. It's because of them I got invited. I was just the guy with the credit card. But to go and see some kids on the airplane for the first time, in a hotel for the first time, and to walk in behind them and a lady hands them their credentials and says, welcome to the White House. I mean, I still get goosebumps thinking about it. And that's the beauty of what we're doing in community media at Open Signal and at Metro East and in Willamette Falls and CCTV and Salem. We're giving people an opportunity to take advantage of these great equalizing platforms like YouTube to post something, get into the public space, and have their voice heard. 750 films were entered from around the United States, as far away as Guam and Puerto Rico, and we were among the 27 invited to the White House. We won honorable mention. The kids from Grant High School actually got to go meet the president. They made a really great film. These are, you know, seniors in high school. We've got like 13-year-olds.
Are some of those students still making films?
They are. Last summer, our new Rockwood site, we have a pop-up there. We're calling the Rockwood DIY, Digital Inclusion and Youth Center, is right there at the Rockwood Mac station in an old police station. And we've done a pop-up. We knew that our neighbors had a lack of access to broadband, a lack of access to computers, and a lack of access to training, especially their parents and grandparents. And so that's where we're focusing this sort of new wave of our mission in digital equity and inclusion work, is at our Rockwood site. And this summer, some anonymous donors, who are a lovely couple that have a big heart for Rockwood, gave us $25,000 to seed our program. We did 3 weeks. We served over 50 kids. The first week was a gaming camp where they got to, you know, go behind the games and code and create some of their own games. The second camp was slightly older kids, 14 to 22, making their own song. We put in a recording studio out there, and they created their own song in 1 week. And in the third week, they made their own music video. So when I heard about your cool studio in Mississippi, I want to send you these links this week so you can look at it. Maybe you'll like them and can share some of them at your space. But to see what they did, I mean, first 3 years of my career were in music videos. I mean, I produced Tupac and, you know, Run DMC, NWA, you know, Dweezil Zappa. You know, I spent a lot of time doing music videos. I was amazed by what these kids did in 1 week. I mean, really amazed.
Yeah, and so, I mean, through your job, you get a real insight into Gresham and, outer Portland, Gresham.
Mm-hmm.
You're serving a very different demographic than Open Signal. Mm-hmm. Or how, as the demographics change, mm-hmm, in East Portland and Gresham, which they have been in the last 5-10 years, mm-hmm, how is your mission changing? I think you've been answering that, but mm-hmm, can you talk a little bit more about that?
Well, focusing on digital equity and inclusion is a big piece.
Say that in more pedestrian terms.
In more pedestrian terms, you know, our funder, the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission, got about 20 major organizations around a table for about 2 years, called the Digital Inclusion Network, and the product was this really amazing thesis about connectivity for the residents of Multnomah County, and it's really simple. Every resident of Multnomah County will have access to broadband equipment and training, period. We're well into the 20th century, 21st century, this whole thing about 21st century. No, we're in the 21st century. These are essentials. And in a place like Rockwood, where, you know, in the early days, wait times for the library computers could be up to 2.5.
X-ray.
The Nonprofit Happy Hour. A weekly look at Portland's nonprofits and do-gooders with interviews, music, and documentaries. You're listening to the Nonprofit Happy Hour on X-Ray FM, brought to you by the Media Institute for Social Change, a public interest media lab that works to inspire, empower, and engage emerging media producers. Learn more online at mediamakingchange.org or in person at Citizen, our
a youth center is right there at the Rockwood MAC station and an old police station. And we've
in East Portland and Gresham, which they have been in the last 5-10 years. Mm-hmm. How is your mission changing? I think you've been answering that, but mm-hmm, can you talk a little bit more about that?
Well, focusing on digital equity and inclusion is a big piece.
Say that in more pedestrian terms.
In more pedestrian terms, you know, our funder, the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission, got about 20 major organizations around a table for about 2 years, called the Digital Inclusion Network. And the product was this really amazing thesis about connectivity for the residents of Multnomah County. And it's really simple. Every resident of Multnomah County will have access to broadband equipment and training, period. We're well into the 20th century, 21st century, this whole thing about 21st century. No, we're in the 21st century. These are essentials. And in a place like Rockwood, where, you know, in the early days, wait times for the library computers could be up to 2.5 hours at peak time. They have more laptops now that people can check out. You know, that seventh grader who wants to play Minecraft and that 56-year-old father of three who needs to look for a job, and they both only have 30 minutes. Well, they're both equally as important, but you can imagine some of the frustration. And so we saw a need there to step up to make our piece of the digital equity pie be this site where people can learn how to use computers. And so it's become a veritable United Nations of mainly immigrant and refugee learners, 90% of whom are women. 100% of all the families are on incomes of under $30,000 a year. And we're teaching folks how to use a mouse for the first time, how to, you know, log in and set up a Gmail account and that kind of thing. But once, it's like the Forrest Gump. I mean, once you get past those first few things, I mean, it's like they're running and there's a thirst and a major curiosity to do more. And the big breakthrough is that they now have access to their teachers. They now have access to the school. They have now have access to research. They now have access to home to share and talk to family members that may still be in, you know, Myanmar or in Somalia. these connections are now happening from their home and not on a smartphone with a limited data plan on the Wi-Fi at McDonald's on Stark.
Marty Jones is the CEO of Metro East. This is the Nonprofit Happy Hour on X-Ray FM. Yeah, and I want to talk a little bit about your background. I think it's really interesting. I mean, you've been traveling in some heady circles, New York, Los Angeles, flirting with the Academy Awards and with some big music videos early in your career. And now you're coaching people how to take their first steps. Is that an odd shift for you?
No. I'm here because of for a kid from Columbus, Ohio, who picked up a movie camera when he was 10 years old and moved to Hollywood after graduating from college. It was a good run, but it's over. And the good folks at Oregon Episcopal School decided to open up a marketing department and rebrand themselves after 142 years. And I had found a headhunter through friends who specialized in that space. And that's how I ended up in Portland. I came here. I tell people I went to school with my children. And now that I've been here for a while, my friends, some other parents in the OES community are like, as they've learned about my background, they're like, Marty, you're like in the producer witness relocation program. You're like a producer in hiding. And, I benefited from disruption my entire career. When I moved to Hollywood, foreign sales was disrupting the model. And I worked in the My guy came back, so I wasn't at Disney anymore. I worked in home video because of Dirty Dancing came out. Little company I work for blew up overnight, went from 10 employees to 300 employees. CD-ROMs, all these different areas that had a chance to work in music videos. And, because of BET, I ended up taking over BET Films and BET Pictures and, made a great film with Tim Reed, Once Upon a Time We Were Colored, which was a big, big hit, indie hit, got to be his exec to help finish that. And that's what led me to Virginia to be able to go and build a movie studio. Tim was from Virginia and wanted to go home. And he saw the shift in Hollywood. He was the guy. He was like me running into Moses. He saw everything that was about to happen. And everything that's happened in consolidation and the collapse of control of, this cobble of like five major media companies that control about 90% of every vertical in the industry. He was talking about that in 1995, and I've seen it happen. And so to be here now, got to go to work with my kids at OES and rebrand the school successfully. And it was like, okay, what's next? I saw this listing for, Metro East. I was about to leave town. I was about to say, okay, I've done my thing. And it just kept calling me. And to be a part of a media landscape where everybody has a chance to have their voice heard and to show them that they can go small or they can go big, whichever they want to do, whichever they want to be comfortable with. But I knew I was in the right place when I heard the story when I was a finalist of a woman who I asked the staff, what's made you the happiest? And they said, there's a woman in her 60s who we just didn't think she could learn how to edit or do camera. And she finally got it. And the story they told and the elation that they had of this breakthrough. 3 months into my job, I was on a slow Friday afternoon in the summer, heard this lady, she's indeed in her mid-60s, early 70s, telling another lady who happened to be wheelchair-bound, oh, this is how you do your show, honey. Let me tell. And she broke it down to her, everything that she had learned. And I come to find out that Miss Esther has not one, not two, but at that point had five shows on the air. So this is someone who thought they would never learn about media, who just wrestled and wrestled and couldn't get it. and finally had that breakthrough because of a patient and willing staff and because of her own persistence. And to me, that's the epitome of what we're there for. Whatever your story is, whatever you want to tell, whatever part of the cultural space you want to inhabit, we can help you do that.
Yeah, it's an interest. You must have an interesting perspective on what has stayed constant in filmmaking or in media. I mean, here you have seen the medium through which it's distributed change,
yeah,
as well as the business models change. What's staying constant? What are you seeing are some of the elements of people who are walking through the doors at Metro East? What do you have to keep teaching, and what will you continue to teach 10, 20 years from now?
How to tell a good story, you know, how to tell it visually. A big mistake that a lot of people make, whether it's in film or television, is they want to say everything. And, you know, that old adage we heard as kids, a picture is worth 1,000 words. Well, you know, a moving picture is worth, you know, 100,000 words or 1,000,000 words when you put all those shots together. And so really, you know, I'd like to put a little bit more emphasis in, you know, again, I think Justin at Open Signal has just really, you know, embraced this, you know, the notion of the aesthetic. It is an art form. You know, storytelling is always going to be key to what we're doing. Engaging people, whether it's in 3 minutes, 30 seconds, or 30 minutes, I think we have to adapt to be much more versatile. You know, we've gone from a network, if you will, that has always wanted 30 and 60 minute programs. You're changing your format. We're now doing interstitial programming. You can give us a 30 second, you can give us 3 minutes and 30 seconds, you can give us a 10 minute short film or a 15 minute mini doc, and we'll work it in. And, you know, and candidly, automation has allowed us to do this, being able to automate and pre-plan our programming on a computer and on servers has helped us to be able to do more interstitial programming.
Marty Jones is the CEO of Metro East. This is Phil Bussey, the Nonprofit Happy Hour on X-Ray FM. Marty, one more question, and I should have maybe started with this question, but you're the CEO, mm-hmm. and this is a nonprofit. That is a unique title for a nonprofit.
You know, it is, and it's one of the reasons why the job stood out. We've been the proverbial, like, sort of teenager that's been at home a little too long. And part of my job was to get us out of mom and dad's basement. And what I mean by that is we've had one wonderful source of income, primarily what my predecessor called mailbox money from the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission. So all of you out there, your bill when it says franchise tax fee, you're supporting Open Signal, you're supporting Metro East, you're supporting Willamette Falls. That's how we stay on the air. But you've heard about cutting the cord. People are not staying with cable. And that same wire that brings broadband into your house, if you don't have cable on it, we don't get any money from it if you have broadband only. And there's no parity because of our antiquated laws with people that get their content via satellite or by wireless or by mobile. So my job was to diversify the company. And so finding a new business model and being entrepreneurial and sort of turning that orange inside out and saying, okay, we've done this way for 33 years. You've got to change that. Because we know that, unlike me when I got disrupted by the 2008 financial crisis, in this situation, I know that there's a potential extinction event coming. When our agreement ends, you know, things could be vastly different in the space. And so my job is to diversify this company. So we've gone from one source of income in the last 18 months to 7 sources. I've identified 25, but I can only focus on about 7 at a time. And that's what we're doing. We're diversifying how we do our nonprofit business, and making our story known to the big foundations is the next step that we're doing now.
Did you say turn that orange inside out?
Yes.
I've never heard that saying before.
Oranges are like these really beautiful things. But I just remember as a kid, they used to cut them in half, and we'd turn them, we'd flip them inside out so you could get all the juicy meat out of the orange. And maybe that's because I was a kid growing up in Ohio, and, you know, oranges were only in those days available for a certain number of months in the year. You sort of savored it.
Marty Jones is the CEO of Metro East. Now you brought in a nice stack of songs for us to choose from. How about you pull one out to take us out?
You know, I've been thinking about my mom a lot lately. So if you can play Ruth Brown's Mambo Baby, my mom had this as a 78 and we had one of those big consoles, you know, I'm sort of feeling nostalgic being here at X-Ray, you know, those big, you know, quite